Hey friends, welcome to the Make Life Matter podcast. I'm Angela Donadio, and each week I share compelling conversations with leading voices. They encourage us to ground our worth in the word instead of the narrative of the world. Together, we'll make our lives matter no matter what. Here's this week's episode. Hey guys, welcome back to the Make Life Matter podcast. And we just came through celebrating the death and the resurrection of our Savior. I hope you had a blessed Easter season with your family. And I am so excited to lean into this conversation today. It's actually someone that I have been desiring to host on the podcast for some time. I know her, I know her heart, and I know the pain that so many of us carry as parents who want to love our children well when we're navigating circumstances and situations that we're just not sure how to do in a biblical way. And so if that's you, if you're a parent, if you're a grandparent, I want you to lean in for this conversation. A fractured family, broken dreams, and hard parenting days left Melinda Patrick reeling in doubt and despair. But God revealed that she had been living in reaction to the circumstances around her and not living in response to Him. And I cannot tell you how much that statement resonated in my heart, and I'm wondering if it is in your heart as well today. Melinda champions and equips Christian parents of LGBTQ identified children, and she helps them to love well, to not compromise the word of God, and to continue faith in prayer. She's the host of the Bridge Between Us podcast, and she's the author of the upcoming book in just a couple of weeks, The Daring Rescue. And in this episode, we're going to talk about listening and loving, knowing our role versus God's role, which is so hard for some of us as parents, and the power of waiting. Welcome, Melinda. I'm so excited and honored to finally have you here on the Make Life Matter podcast.
Oh, thank you, Angela. We have really been trying to get this together, haven't we? It's such a joy to be with you today.
Well, I agree, but I think this timing is perfect because your book is just about to come out. And, yes, you know, we were chatting earlier. Congratulations are in order. Thank you. I'm throwing all the confetti your way. But at the same time, this is a tender topic. This is not necessarily a book that you wanted to write, but this is the story that the Lord has entrusted to you. So invite us a little bit into why this is on your heart and just the foundation of this brand new book and really your life story.
Thank you, Angela. Yes, absolutely. A million times over, this is not the book I would have ever wanted to write. This is not the journey I would have wanted to be on, nor is this the story I would have wanted our family to have, the story my daughter is walking through either. And in that same moment, we have to trust in the goodness of God, right? Scripture says in Psalm 139 that before we were even formed, He knew everything about us. And all the days of our lives were already written out. And even though circumstances may catch us by surprise and it may not be the story that we want for our family, we can rest in assurance knowing that God is not ever surprised and that He is faithful to His promises, regardless of what we're going through. And a little bit of my story, I was raised in a Christian home and I raised my children in a Christian home. We were at Awana's, you know, they were memorizing scripture. We were at church on Wednesday nights and Sunday mornings, and they were involved in the youth group. I would help serve in the youth group, and I served on a women's ministry team. I taught women Bible studies. I actually taught Bible at a local high school. And so you would think that things in my life, things in my family, especially regarding my children, that we would be, you know, set for success. And in 2011, my daughter came to me sharing with me that she experienced same-sex attraction. And everything in that moment, everything in our world changed. I would love to tell you, Angela, that I did everything right, that I was like, I'm going to put my faith and trust in Jesus and I'm going to love you, baby girl. We're going to, you know, I'm going to walk through this with you. But that's not the case. That's unfortunately not how it played out. Now, my daughter sat there and shared with me the most tender, vulnerable places of her heart. And instead of thanking her for entrusting them to me, I took what she had said and I said, "That's okay. We're going to get you to a counselor and we'll get you fixed in 6 months. And nobody will know that we've walked through this." So if you are a parent listening today, or a grandparent, or a family, or a friend, and someone has shared this with you, I want to encourage you. They just shared a very painful, vulnerable part of their heart with you. They trusted you. And I look back, and one of the things I wish I would have done, Angela, is to just sit and listen. I didn't need to respond that day. And just like you pulled the quote out of my bio a few moments ago, that day I reacted. I didn't take time to respond. And I wish I could go back and just sit there and listen. And I have told her since then, thank you for entrusting that part of your heart with me. But that day, my words shut her down. I was not a safe place because I wasn't seeking to love her. I was seeking to fix her. And I've learned on this journey that regardless of whether you're walking this journey with your child or any other journey with your child, if they are wandering far from Christ, our children are not a project to fix, but a person to love. And when we begin to walk in the role that God has created us as a Christian mother, a Christian father, or grandparent, or friend, as we lean into the Holy Spirit and listen to Him, that gives us permission to love them and not fix them. And it also creates a space for the Holy Spirit to begin to work and minister. So over the course of time, naturally, this created my reaction, created a divide between my daughter and I. She was not happy with my stance, which that has not changed over the year. I do not believe that God has created her with this bend. I believe we live in a fallen and broken world. Sin has entered. We all have a bend towards sin, every single one of us. But also, I proved myself that day that I wasn't really a safe place for her. And over the next couple of years, our relationship went in a downward spiral. But thankfully, because of that, I often say when my daughter came out of the closet, I went in, you know. I pulled myself off the women's ministry team. I stopped teaching Bible study and I left the church where I'd raised my children and went to a church. I found myself on the back row of a church where nobody would know me and nobody would know to ask any questions or want to know where the rest of my family was. I just was not at that time able to answer those questions. But God found me. The enemy may have led me to that closet, Angela, but God met me there. And one of the very first things He revealed to me is that my identity was in my children. If my child did something good, then I was good. If my child did something bad, I was bad. And either way, that's not a healthy place to be. And when our identity is in anything other than our child, I mean, in anything other than Jesus Christ, the enemy can hit us. And we are a target for him. But when we find our identity in Christ and Christ alone, the enemy is defeated. He has to meet Christ first. And scripture says that we're hidden in Christ and that we're sealed with the Holy Spirit. And so when we are tucked away and hidden in him and he is our identity, that's who the enemy first has to deal with. So the Lord brought me to a place of being on my knees, a place of humility and surrender. And there he was able to rebuild the foundation of my heart, of my walk with Jesus and my identity in him. He allowed the cracks in my foundation to be exposed. And it was very, very painful in the moment. But man, God, I have learned on this that when God reveals something, that's where he's wanting to step in and begin to heal.
That's right.
And he's done an amazing work in me.
Wow. Thank you, Melinda, for sharing some of your story. And there's so many directions in that story that we could go. We can talk about listening and loving well and disappointments. And we're going to touch on a number of these things. But first, I just want to thank you because there's so many moms, dads, grandmothers that are listening right now and carrying the weight of what you're talking about. What a profound statement to say, when my daughter came out of the closet, I went in looking for kind of safety and anonymity. You know, if nobody knows me and nobody knows my story, I can kind of just process this pain. But the enemy does love to use that isolation against us if we're not careful. So I love that you worked through that to re-engage in community and get all the way on the other side to where now you want to share a resource. You even said that this book is the resource you wish you had had when you were going through it. And I know it's going to be such an encouragement to so many parents, whether their child is struggling with LGBTQ or prodigal or just in any identity issue. This is your story is powerful. And the way that you've been so vulnerable and transparent is, I don't know any other way to go through, a painful situation and have something that can bless and encourage others requires this level of vulnerability and transparency. So I just want to thank you for that because that's not an easy thing to do. And I honor you and your family for bringing us into your story. I actually had written down a quote that you had said, your child is not a problem to fix, but a person to love. So I'm so glad that you shared that because I think to give yourself a little grace, you know, I'm thinking back to the moment you were sharing of your daughter sitting there, you know, revealing these deep secrets of her heart and entrusting you with that. And to give yourself some grace, obviously when we're shocked by news of any kind, you know, our mind and heart is kind of reeling and we can put all the things on paper when it's someone else's child, right, that we're talking to and say A, B, C, D. But boy, when our own emotions get involved, disappointment, unmet expectations, all of that begins to come into play. So help us, Melinda, if someone's listening, they're like, okay, I can't go back. I can't undo a situation that's already happened. I'm currently walking through it. How do we listen and love well? Because for some, affirmation is required, approval is required, or else you don't love me. If you love me, then you will affirm, approve. That's a tough place that a lot of Christian parents are walking, whether their child is just in a heterosexual relationship that's not God-honoring, or a homosexual relationship that's not God-honoring. Either way, sexual sin is sexual sin. But the point is, we are still called to love well and yet not affirm or approve of behavior that is considered sin in biblical terms. So I'm going to just start with this heavy hitter question because I know that's where a lot of us are going. How do I love my child or my nephew or my friend well and not affirm or approve of a lifestyle or a behavior that the Bible does not affirm as to be a biblical sexual ethic? Help us just kind of unpack the way you would guide us through that.
Yes. So the very first thing is we have to get back to the original definition of words. And when we go back to really look at the definition, God's word is very clear about what love is. We look in 1 Corinthians 13, you know, love is patient, love is kind, love is not boasting, love protects. And, you know, look at 1 Corinthians 13. I don't have it before me right at the moment, but that is where we are to align what love is. And the culture has now come in and defined, really, they haven't even defined love. They say love is love. Well, that doesn't,
it's not a
definition. You can't define a word with the same word, you know?
Yeah.
And so we have to go back to the definition. And so that is one of the very first things that I would encourage parents, friends, and family members to do in conversations without emotion, not getting overly excited or, you know, defensive and things, just calmly and rationally say, well, let's, you just said that I was such and such a way. You just said that I was judgmental, or you just said that I was unloving. Why don't we sit here together and look up that definition? And let's go back to the real definition, because, and culture today is hijacking the words and making them what they want to be.
That's good.
Because they're wanting us to move in a place of feeling.
Yeah.
But when we go back to God's word never tells us to move or to respond to things on feelings. Mm. We are to be rational people. We are to be people who move and respond to truth. So let's go back to that the original words. And then the other thing is, and this is where my daughter and I are, thankfully, the world now wants to tell us that if you don't agree with me, then you must be my enemy, or you must hate me. But Angela, I don't know about you, but in my family growing up, it was okay to agree to disagree. In fact, that was actually the sign of a healthy family, that we were able to talk about those things, able to give one another a healthy, you know, position, a healthy respect, and understand, you know what, your opinion and my opinion do not have to be the same in order for us to still see each other as worth, love, and affection and attention and respect. Mm. And so my daughter and I have come to a place where we agree to disagree. Mm. And if your loved one is still saying, well, yeah, that's not true, you have to affirm me, you know, in order for me to know that you love me. Well, any rational human being is going to understand that there is nowhere in the world that one person is going to 100% always agree with you. In our workplace, we are not always going to have people that agree with us, but it doesn't mean that I don't care for that person or have respect for that person. And so just trying to bring the conversation to a place of reality, eliminating emotion, and just saying, let's talk about this, you know, human to human, removing the emotion from it. Let's talk about what's really going on here.
That's really good.
You're wanting me to respect you, but yet I am worthy of respect as well. So how can we find some common ground?
I was just going to say that sometimes when it's a one-sided conversation, all the expectation is on one side of you have to do this, 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 and this, or there's no relationship. As you pointed out, that's not healthy in any environment. So why would we ascribe that to this, you know, impose it on this one issue?
Yes, that's manipulation.
It is manipulation.
Let's call it what it is, right?
Yep.
That's manipulation and bullying. And that's just not part of a healthy relationship. So even if you choose to side with that person, you're still not in a healthy relationship, because you have allowed them to coerce you into compromising your values and beliefs.
Yeah, that's really good. It should be a mutual respect in a conversation and in a relationship. I've said it this way, as my husband and I have pastored almost 30 years now, and you know, there's no issue that's new under the sun, but you know, this is an issue a lot of pastors and leaders are navigating in our culture, especially in the last decade. And I have heard it said this way, I've framed it this way, and I want to just hear your opinion. I've said, you don't have to agree with someone to honor them. And that's not just about this issue, but let's just say here we are in a political year, for example. You know, there are people, we have a very diverse church. There's people in our church that I don't agree with on every political issue. My husband and I don't even agree on every single political issue. Now we typically vote the same, but if you get in the nitty gritty of issues, we might kind of differ, but that doesn't mean we can't honor one another. So speak to the difference between honoring, holding space for someone else's, like you said, free will and opinion, but that does not need to translate into full agreement in order to have a loving relationship. Am I wording that well, or would you word it differently than that?
Yes, I feel like you worded that well. So one of the something that happened with me when my daughter and I began to mend our relationship is every time she came around, all I saw were her decisions. you know, she's chosen homosexuality, she's dating a girl. Those are all the things that I could see when she came around. Mm. And I could tell that I was still moving in reaction to that. Mm. You know, I was having a hard time spending time with her, or I was having a hard time like, Lord, I don't know how to spend time with her anymore. And mm. one day I came to the realization that I was more focused on her sin than I was on who God created her to be and who he had given to me and entrusted to me. So I began to pray, Lord, help me to see her through your eyes. And as I began to see her through God's eyes, I saw her as the little girl that he had entrusted to me. I saw her as the daughter where we love to spend time baking or, you know, dancing in the kitchen or rock climbing, going to get our nails done. And the more I began to understand that, you know what, she's still a person worthy of love. She is still someone that God created in his image. You know, we are all created in God's image. We're marred images. You know, we live in a broken, sinful world, but we were originally created in the image of God. And until we see Jesus face to face, we are not going to have that perfected image of him. But, you know, every day, glory to glory, he transforms us. And we're looking more like him. And the Lord just took me back to that scripture in the New Testament, you know, that when we were enemies of his, Christ still died for us.
That's good.
When I was far, far from Christ, Christ still thought I was worthy of giving his life for.
Yeah.
And that's how the Lord had just began to allow me to see my daughter. She's worthy of love. She's worthy of experiencing Jesus Christ. And right now she can do that when she's with me, when I surrender my life, when I surrender my rights, when I allow the Holy Spirit to show up at our pedicure times or our coffee times together, she's not sitting there with me. She's sitting there with the Holy Spirit, and he is there to meet and minister to her. And that really brought healing for me as a mom, just spending time with her.
I love that, Melinda. And I love that that reminds us to just keep grace as our frame around all of our interactions. If we remember that we are a sinner, that Christ loved us, that Christ loved me, that Christ accepts me because of what he has done, that should be our frame. It just isn't always our frame, especially when emotions get high, disappointment begins to bleed in on the pages of our story. You touched on something that I had written down to ask you about, because you mentioned in the book about our entrusted assignments and our role versus God's role. So what do we tend to do as parents that you would suggest is not ours to do?
Mm-hmm. So for me, the first thing I wanted to do is I wanted to convict my daughter of her sin. You know, I wanted to show her this isn't right. This isn't who God created you to be. And I did everything I could. Maybe I put someone's testimony in front of her, or I was like, oh, if I could get her to this church service, or if I could let her listen to this song, or if I could share this verse with her one more time, maybe this would be the time that would open her eyes. But Angela, scripture is very clear that it's the Holy Spirit that opens our eyes. It is the Holy Spirit that draws us, even me and you. It was not someone who drew us to Jesus Christ. It was the Holy Spirit and Jesus pursuing us, you know, that begin that transformation in our life. The sanctification process.
Yeah.
We cannot create that. We can't even create that, Angela, in ourselves.
So true.
That is the work of the Holy Spirit. So if I can't create that in myself, I definitely cannot create that in my daughter or anyone else. The coming to the realization of knowing they need a savior, that's revealed through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so when I step into those roles, what I'm actually doing is I'm colliding with the Holy Spirit. You know, I get up in the mornings and I spend my time in prayer and in Bible study. And I ask the Lord, hey, Father, today, I really want you to minister to my daughter. I want you to you know, to open her eyes or, you know, whatever is on my prayer, on my heart that morning. And then I get up and then I attempt to do the things that I just asked the Lord to do. It's just like me saying, hey, Angela, I want you to, I want you to produce this podcast or whatever. And then we get off of this and I'm like, hey, can you give me that? And then I try to go and do just asked you to do. And so I came to the realization that the more space I give for the Holy Spirit to do his work, it freed me to do what he has called me to do. It released those burdens from me, burdens that God never intended me to carry. He didn't intend me to bring her to salvation. He didn't intend for me to open her eyes or to create within her a hunger and thirst for righteousness. He didn't intend for me to convict, which oftentimes for us, it comes across as condemnation of sin. He called me to love her. He called me as her mom to nurture her. He called me to enjoy being a parent. He called me to raise her in the word of God. He called me to pray for her, to fight for her, to be a watchman over her life. When I step back into my role, you know, I love being able to nurture her. Yeah. I love being able to spend time with her. I love being able to pray for her. And when I realize that it's not my responsibility, it just makes spending time with her so much easier. All I have to do, Angela, when we meet for coffee, I surrender my heart to the Lord. I surrender my life. Lord, I don't know what conversation you want to have with her today, but I'm going to lay myself down right now and ask Holy Spirit that you show up. That's and good. You have this time with her, and I just get to love her. And the Holy Spirit will move through me. Sometimes, yes, sometimes we do have to have hard conversations. But when the Holy Spirit is the one that initiates those or responds, it makes a world of difference.
Yes. And it's what a posture for you to feel free from carrying all of that and to feel like it's all up to you. That is still easier said than done when we're the one walking through it. And I'm sure it's a process, right? It's a daily, like you said, I pray it, I release it. If we're not careful, we pick it right back up, or something new kind of comes down the pike and it hits that bruise or it hits that nerve, or we have to navigate something. We're not suggesting this is easy or it's a one and done, but it is possible in the power of the Holy Spirit to do everything that Melinda's encouraging us to do. It can be even more difficult, Melinda, when we're having to wait and we feel like, and I've talked about this before on the podcast, so we're not going to take a ton of time here as we're wrapping up, but I want you to just speak to this because there are moms and dads listening that are just in a season of waiting, and waiting can be very painful. And what I have found, and I've shared here before on the podcast in my own episodes and some conversations, is just as you had said earlier, a crisis doesn't so much cause something as reveal what is there. And God reveals to heal. He always reveals to heal. He never reveals to shame. He reveals to heal. So when we're dealing with the revelation of something exposed or something there, what I have seen in my own life, Melinda, is often I have realized that I've been waiting on an outcome and my hope has been in an outcome. I can say intellectually, I'm waiting on God. I'm waiting on God for the answer, but really I'm waiting on the answer. So help us to know, how do we wait well? Because this is a big part of your ministry is trusting God in the wait. So leave us with that. What encouragement do you have for those of us that are waiting in a waiting season, especially waiting to see the fulfillment of the prayers, like you've said, that we've been lifting and, you know, believing for, and yet not seeing the fulfillment of those promises?
I just heard the late Dr. Charles Stanley in our local radio station. They still play his sermons every morning at 5 a.m. And I love that. And just 2 weeks ago, I heard him say that one thing that is worse than waiting is wishing you would have. And I have learned that, Angela, in a hard way, that there have been times that I have stepped in and said, I'm not going to wait any longer. And I have manipulated or coerced situations. And all it did was end up making things worse.
Yeah.
And I think about a premature baby, you know, as we're praying for our children, maybe you're praying for a child who has never even surrendered their hearts to the Lord, or perhaps you're praying for one who has given their hearts to the Lord, but has wandered back off into a far country. We have to trust that God's ways and timing are best. And when we begin to look at our own lives, how we have wandered, not one single person listening to this podcast today has completely gotten it right walking with Jesus. It's a day by day, sometimes moment by moment, leaning into the guidance and the empowering of the Holy Spirit. And when we can go back and look at what the Lord has done in our lives, how he's brought that transformation, it gives me the confidence and the assurance that I can trust and wait on him. His timing is best. And I don't want my daughter coming to me and saying, hey, mom, okay, I'm not going to live this life anymore. I've heard you tell me it's wrong. It's wrong. What anything that is done in my power is always going to be temporary. I want it to be done through the work, the eternal work of the Holy Spirit. And it's worth waiting for. It's worth waiting for. Our God is pursuing our children just as he has been pursuing us. And we think that waiting is something passive, that we're just sitting here twiddling our thumbs waiting on God. But no, there are things that we actively can be doing in the waiting process. We can be healing. We can say, okay, God, you're revealing things in my own life that the cracks in the foundation, the wounds of my heart. So while my child is not wanting healing right now, I will put myself in a position for you to begin the healing work in me.
Right.
Oftentimes we think that when our children, and I'm so guilty of this, I used to think that, oh, if my daughter would just, you know, come to Jesus, then everything's going to be right. But Angela, I've walked long enough now, over 10 years now, I have been walking with those coming out of homosexuality and walking in their healing and wholeness with Jesus Christ. And I realized that that's where the hard work actually begins. And if we are healed, if we have allowed God to work on the cracks of our foundation, if we have allowed the Holy Spirit to begin to minister healing to our wounds, then when our children come to Jesus, we are now healed, or more healed and more ready to be an anchor and a support to walk with them on their healing. Look, Angela, if my daughter would have come to me even 2 years after she shared with me, we both would have been injured messes trying to find our way to wholeness. But God has done a transforming work in me, and I'm not done. I won't be done this side of heaven, but I am more healed and whole. And now I am ready. When the Lord feels it is a perfect time, I will be ready to walk with my daughter in that healing and wholeness. And our children are worth that.
Yeah.
You know, my daughter is worthy of a healed and whole enough mom. So my waiting right now really isn't a passive thing. It's not something wasted. There are things for me to do. And I can't make her want to come to Jesus, but man, I can lay myself on the altar. I can say, God, I'm here. Whatever you need to be changing, whatever you need to be transforming in me to be a better mom for my daughter, do it now. And we think that nothing is happening, that miracles aren't happening because our children are still where, you know, they've been the last 10 or 12 years. But Angela, I'm a miracle.
Yeah.
I'm not the same person I was 12 years ago.
Right.
God has brought sanctification and transformation and healing in my life. Mm-hmm. And so I want to tell the parent today, don't miss the miracle in the mirror.
Yeah.
Don't be looking for it in all the other places and miss what God has and is doing in you. You're not the same person now. And every time we surrender ourselves to the Holy Spirit, He brings eternal transformation. So this waiting is not wasted, not one single second of it when we turn it back to the Lord.
Wow, what a powerful message, Melinda. And your words are not only so full of wisdom, but there's so much grace. It reminds me when Moses came down off the mountain and it was so evident that he had been with Jesus, because you don't say the things you're saying. And I'm not saying Melinda's perfect. None of us are perfect.
No, absolutely not.
She said that I'm not perfect. But what I mean is, those are words that come from a place of having walked through the valley with Jesus, and to know that our waiting is never in vain. We cannot control everything that happens in this life. We can only control, as you've been sharing, our own responses to them. How are we going to live in reaction constantly, or retreating in anonymity? Are we going to lean in and listen and love well? Are we going to trust the Holy Spirit for what He's doing? Are we going to see that our own life has to stay in right relationship with the Lord? Because when we walk through something that's difficult and painful, it's very easy, at least I've found in my life, Melinda, to allow my own relationship with God to become muddled and tangled and dicey, because I'm navigating all these emotions and, wanting to control something to happen instead of just focusing in on who I am in Christ, what He's doing in me, like you said, the miracle that's in the mirror, and trusting that He is working things out. But ultimately, it's between me and God. Is that relationship staying honoring to Him in the middle of whatever it is that you might be going through? You might be listening, and maybe this is not your struggle, but maybe it's a painful divorce or financial issues or your health or whatever that you just wish so badly you could kind of, and I hate this expression, but wave a magic wand and it would all go away and everything would just be perfect. But to Melinda's point, then God would not be doing the work that He's trying to do in and through us. And the fruit of that is going to be so much stronger. And to your point, Melinda, then what's on the other side of that, we're going to be in the place to walk that through in wholeness and in the grace of God on our life. So guys, you can hear just the journey that Melinda has been on, continues to be on, what it's produced in her life. And that's why I wanted her here, for you to hear from her. But I also want you to get a copy of this book. There's not a lot of books. Melinda and I have camped out privately discussing healthy resources for us as pastors and leaders that she would recommend. And she's been so, so great. And Melinda, I might include a couple of those at the bottom of my show notes today. Yeah. For further reading, but I'm just so thrilled now. I know that this is a painful part of our story. Sometimes often our story finds us. We didn't go seek that, but that's the story that's been entrusted. That's the assignment that's been entrusted to us. And you're stewarding it with so much grace. So I'm honored, maybe excited is the wrong word, but I'm honored that we can now say The Daring Rescue is a must-have resource for pastors, for leaders, for parents, for anyone that's navigating a season. And your subtitle, I'll just say it this way, Joining Jesus Christ in His Pursuit of Your LGBTQ-Identified Child's Heart.
Yes.
And that sums up everything we've talked about. We're joining Jesus in His pursuit.
Yes.
And we're just to come alongside and stay obedient and stay in a posture of humility for Him to do whatever He desires. So Melinda, it's just about to come out. So before we hop off, I know I've kept you a little bit long, but
that's
such
okay.
A needed conversation. But before we hop off, tell people where they can get a copy of it, because this is airing about 2 weeks before it comes out. And where can they go? And then I would love for you to just pray over our listeners as we close.
Yes. So it will be on Amazon. It should be hitting the world April 23rd. So exciting to even say that. It's been such a, wow. It's been a whole birthing process, and you've written a book as well, Angela. So, you know, that whole thing, but it should be out April 23rd. So you can find it on Amazon. And I'm also over on Instagram at Melinda H. Patrick, and my podcast, which you shared earlier, The Bridge Between Us. And I want to thank you, Angela, for giving me the opportunity to share and just to encourage parents. You're not alone.
Right.
You're not alone. And the enemy wants you to think that, because when he can get us alone, then he can really have a heyday with us. And God created the body to walk this journey together, and we bring healing. He uses each of us to bring healing to one another as well. So thank you, Angela, for just creating this space for your listeners.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for being here, and we'll pray. You'll pray us out. Thank you so much. Yes.
So Father, we come before you today, Lord, and I thank you, God, that this side of heaven, you are still healing, you are still transforming, you are still sanctifying, Lord, and you are still drawing us to you. And Father, just as you are pursuing us, you are pursuing our loved one. Lord, you have a watchful eye, and you are strong and mighty, and you are victorious. And so, Lord, I lift each listener up to you today, Father. I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would meet with them in a real and personal way. I pray, Father, that their hearts would be encouraged. Lord, that whatever burden that they have been carrying, Lord, that their burden would be lighter today, Father. And for many of them, perhaps they're able to even just lay that burden down, realizing that this is not something that you have called them to carry. You have called us to trust you and to follow you. And as we surrender our hearts and our lives to you, we can trust that your timing is best, that you never lead us to defeat, and that you are the victorious one. In fact, just 2 weeks ago, we celebrated the fact that you are a risen and living Savior. And because of that, we are given opportunity to have eternal life. Lord, thank you for what you're doing. I pray, Father, just a blessing over these listeners today. And we trust you on this process. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for joining the conversation. If you've been inspired to make life matter, share a review and subscribe anywhere you listen to podcasts so you don't miss an episode. Connect with me at angeladonatio.com, Facebook at Angela Donatio VOV, and Instagram at Angela Donatio. Until next week, let's make life matter.